have a thing. Memphis, help me.
I'll put two. Shabbos Kodesh. We're up to preparations one does on Shabbos, reading the Parsha twice and the Targum once, and we'll learn a little bit about what that is. Okay. This is on Friday. Prepare, you need the Shabbos for the honor of Shabbos, the Kovet Shabbos Kodesh. We're supposed to say that. Saying that does, we don't have no idea what saying that does. It really reaches very high places. It says in the pasuk, it says on Friday you will prepare what you're going to bring, because Friday is the time to prepare for Shabbos. That's our time. So you should do this early. You should try to get it done early as possible. Buy what you need on Friday, not on Thursday if you can help it. Everything you buy, say the Chavot Shabbos Kodesh. Now Rav Nassim says we have no idea what every step of buying does, where we're going. We don't get it. We don't understand. So every step you're buying flour, creating a mala, angel, another angel. We have no idea. We don't understand.
When it says Friday, can that also mean Thursday night?
Yes, definitely. And it says it says you're not going to get good stuff, or you won't be ready for Shabbos, then buy on Thursday. You don't. Say, well, what can I do? You know, I'll be done right before the Shkia because I have to also shop on Friday, because that's what it says. No. If you can get the same quality, it's better to get Friday if you can, but if not, so
because
you get
Thursday. It's a madhouse.
Absolutely.
It's the supermarket's Friday.
You see that it's the mitzvah. I'm just kidding. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. You're right. You're not supposed to make yourself crazy. You're not supposed to, you know, some people, they want to do a mitzvah and they unfortunately don't understand that there are much more important things in the mitzvah that they're focused on. So, like, for example, we saw Solanta said about slichos. I don't know if I said this over here, but he said a person wants to get up early for slichos and say an intense slichos. You know, it's almost a Rosh Hashanah. He wants to say slichos. Slichot, or Elul, whatever it is, early in the morning. So, I mean, do it right. He gets up at 2 in the morning, and he has someone in his house, so she takes care of his things. He has some lady live-in person, and she happens to be a widow. Wakes up at 2 in the morning, okay, make me a cup of tea, please. You're not allowed to wake up a widow at 2 in the morning to make a cup of tea, even if she's in your employ. He says, that's problem one. That's a big problem. So then he's wandering around, he wakes up this one, he wakes up that, makes a noise here, a noise there. Still, these people sleep, you're paying them, that's problem two. So then he turns the tea, he pours it out into the street, runs to run to the street, so we can fall on that, problem number three. So then he goes to shul. So there's no, I think he saw this actually. I think he, I don't think he made this up. I think this actually happened. His shtender, I own a shtender. Where's my shtender? What happened to my shtender? So he doesn't know what happened to the shtender. Then he sees this person learning on the shtender. It's a Talmud Chacham who's been learning all night. He asked the Gabbai, can I use the shtender? He said, yeah, he usually doesn't care. He never shows up. Usually he doesn't come for slichas or whatever, or he made a mistake. He's learning all night. How dare you take my shtender in front of everyone? Shouting down. Well, actually, I sort of asked him, you mend the Gabbai. How dare you? Anyway, so that's another, like, big ones. Then he sets his shtender off his place, and he says a beautiful, tearful slichas, and it would have been much, much better had he stayed in bed. Much, much better. Too bad that he got out of bed. And he thinks, wow, what a great slichas. That is not a great slichas. It's the same thing. When you're shopping, you have to try to have focus. You have to try to, can't be, it shouldn't be in a mad rush. It shouldn't be, you know, the author of Kalm points out, sometimes you can have someone who, because he's so focused, he's so hyper, he's under such pressure, so he's able to focus tremendously, he gets hyper-focused. So that's not the greatest way to get focused. You're supposed to get focused because you relax, not because your boss is going to kill you, bite your head off, you don't get this done. So you have to focus and do it. That's not, I mean, sometimes there's no choice, but that's not, we're not trying for that. We want to have yeshiva das, we want to have tranquility, we want to do it the right way, not, the binach was in shul chatzos. In the afternoon, he was ready. Says in his house, they took in like the Baal Shem Tov, they took in Shabbos the very earliest time. The Rav Chofetz Chaim said that the biggest schooler for whatever you want, just need children, you need this, need money, that's your time. And then you bring down a tremendous shefa. You bring Shabbos, you make Shabbos more Shabbos in the world. Bring Shabbos in the world like it's important, not like it's chaplap. What is a Zohar? Whoa, the Zohar, just remember this incredible Zohar, I've been trying to read a little bit of Zohar. Phew, the Zohar says when you come to a house that's not clean for Shabbos on time, there's very serious serious thing. What is this? It has to be on time. What's going on? Queen comes and it's not ready. What's going on? So, you know, my point in saying this is not to make us feel terrible, but that we can try to do tshuva and change from now on. Bez Hashem, it's not the idea of, there are things to work on, to focus on, to try to live with, to try to develop ourselves and be a different person. Some people, they live, and inside is a void. Going around all day, not thinking about much of anything. What about Hashem? What about something spiritual? We want to think something spiritual and good, which is not there at all. So we want to get to a place where we're useful. In terms of the world, we bring the shin in, we help another person, we're thinking of other people, we're just trying to be somewhere else, not in a place where a person's like, what is he doing in the world? Like, what are you really doing? I don't really know. I don't know. I'm going around, I go to school, I go here, I do this, I do that. But where are you in Hashem? It's sort of part of the idea of what Shavuos is about. At the very least, a person's supposed to be thinking about Hashem or about something good, some concept. Maybe we'll try to yearn this Shabbos, take your Shabbos early, we'll be a little earlier, we'll get things done, Bez Hashem. That's the goal. So we have to be very careful. You're right. A person can go to the store on Friday and he's for sure going to like, I'm going to give it to someone. So I'm going to give them over the head. Better you know, go on Sunday. Just don't give it to him. Don't relax. Don't be so pressured. That's not Kedusha. Kedusha is tranquil. That's what we try to find. That's the general rule. The Kedusha Rim said, I worked my whole life trying to do everything with Yeshua Kadav. That's our goal. We want to get to a place where relax, think before you say, think before you do, try to bring Hashem into your life. That's our goal. Okay. So now, he says, after Chatzos, midday, you should read Shnai Mikra V'Echad Targum. Now, of course, the Lagon famously says, you don't have to do like the Arizal says, where you only read, I don't know, what is it, 26 psukim or something on till Thursday, or however many, there's a certain amount of psukim you read with the Chokhmah Yisrael, I don't do this, but those who do it, there's a certain amount of psukim, and then Friday you read the rest of the parsha, that's the biggest tikkun. Not everybody is on that level, is holding there, the Gra holds actually do one portion a day, one aliyah a day, we shun on Sunday, etc., until you finish. The Yasha would finish the last aliyah Friday night, between Kabbalah Shabbos and Ma'ariv. That's what he did. He did every day Aliyah, and that's what he did the seventh one, every week.
Isn't it the most important thing shown by us? Helping your wife out?
Of course, undoubtedly. Undoubtedly. You have to, you know, the Zohar, it's also, that's like unbelievable Zohar. The Zohar says, it says that the Yetzirah, there's two elements to the Yetzirah. You have the masculine element, and you have the feminine element. So the masculine element is called cherim. This is cherim. Person gets, you know, cherim literally means excommunicated. When he's with this element, he excommunicates himself from Hashem. He has no connection. He's totally gone. Where's Hashem in your life? What are you talking about? I have to get this one and get this ready for this meeting. And who knows, whatever you need to do, and you're like completely, where's Hashem? I have no idea. Cherim means the cherim. Then there's another worse level in a certain way, which is the feminine aspect. The feminine aspect is called klal. Klala, cursed, curses. That's the feminine aspect, blighted, I don't know what you call it exactly. So he said, you know, we have a whole bunch of 98 klalas, terrible, terrible, terrible things which befell the Jewish people in Dvarim. And this week's parsha also, we have quite a few in the Chukosai. So it says, this element is channeled by, so here, the person is disconnected from Hashem. So then everything gets blighted. Nothing works. Nothing works right. It's all very, very difficult. And especially, you know, it says a person when he's married to someone and she's an Isha Ra, he can experience all the curses. So that doesn't mean that she's good or bad. When we're married to someone, the general rule, and there's an exception to every rule, of course, even to that rule, but the general rule is that when you're okay, she's okay. That's the general rule, and maybe it's a beautiful story I like to tell. It's a wonderful story of, I forgot which Rebbe it was. I actually saw it even again not too long ago. That's the name. It went right in one ear, out the other. So this Rebbe came to town and they said to him, there's this very wealthy man, we need a mikveh, he won't give us a penny. Nothing. Nothing. A shekel, like zero. The smallest coin he won't give. And he's got the money, we need a mikveh here. We can't go out of town for the mikveh, it's Friday night. There is no mikveh, it's really problematic. Okay, I'll talk to him. It might take some time, a few months, but eventually I hope it'll work out. Oh, the Rebbe says, good. So this guy comes in to talk to him about his troubles. He says, Rebbe, I can't stand my wife anymore. I just can't live with her. She's impossible. He said, I'll tell you the truth. I don't know, you know, if I had any way of, like, just maybe there's a school, like, you know, I don't want to, you can't hire someone to, you know, take care of some problem like this. You know, let her do that. It's, you know, murder. Not let her do that. But maybe there's some spiritual way of dealing with this problem. I can't stand it anymore. Everything is to fight. I can't live that way anymore. So he said, well, you know, the Talmud says there's an easy way. All you need to do is promise something and not give. So, for example, this city needs a mikvah. Get up to shul, buy an aliyah on Shabbos, say you're going to pay the whole money for the mikvah, and they don't pay. He said, oh, that's not a problem. I can do that easy. That's great. That sounds wonderful. Come to shul, makes it up and say, wow, the Rebbe worked so fast. The first day, he said a few months, no problem. There's a aliyah, Sunday, there's a new way of the money. Oh, I don't know, come back tomorrow, come back next week, come back next year. The kids, they kind of figure out that he's never going to give them anything. Okay, no money. So, you know, he's waiting a month, waiting 2 months, he's checking, how are you feeling, are you okay, are you this, that? She's feeling hale and hearty, everything's great. I said, what is this, he's making a fool out of me, he made a joke, I go up, I'm making it, people are pressuring me, it's not so fun, it's no fun for me. It's annoying, I'm being pressured by people, I've said it, after all, I have the money, this, and it doesn't work. I mean, it's got to work. What is this? So he went to the Rebbe. He said, I don't understand. What's going on? Why is it? So the Rebbe said, listen, it doesn't really work this way, that it's exactly an advantage of school. You need to do other things first. The first thing is, you know, you try to compliment your wife, try to help her. You have to, like, it has to be, it's not exactly to your advantage. You have to build a strong bias first. Careful, don't say a bad word to her. Try to be helpful, and it'll work well. He said, I can try that. He said, try that for a month. Then if this doesn't work, come back. So by the time a week or two, she sees that he's acting so much better, so much different, it's all working. So she's also acting nicely to him. So it starts to be very enjoyable. Wow, you know, life, I don't know, it's no more fighting, no more, everything's good, everything's great. And then he remembers the school. He's like, oh my goodness, now she's going to die. So he ran to the Rebbe. He said, what do I do now? I don't want her to go. So the Rebbe said, well, listen, there is an easy way. You just got to pay the money for the mikvah, and it's all fine. So he paid the money, and they got their mikvah. But yeah, so when a person treats his wife properly, usually it's not the wrong aspect. It's the aspect is the way it should be. If a person is chayrim, so he's giving the Zohar says it's either chayrim or rachim. Either you have mercy, it's the same letters. Either you have mercy, you have compassion, and then it's. Person's with Hashem, or it's Chayim, he doesn't want to know anybody, he doesn't care, he's only his own place, he's separate from everyone, so then it's all color and not broken. So that's the Bechir, see, he's got to work on it, it's just something to work on. So, the Maisa, we need to know, we have to be very, very careful. Shalom Bayis is the most important foundation of everything, because if you don't have Shalom Bayis, Torah Mach says, and it's from the Zohar, you have really nothing compared to what you could have according to who you are. When a person is not with someone else, he doesn't have to constrict himself in any way. If I feel like I go to Bahamas, I feel like I go wherever I want, I can go backpacking 2 years, I can go to some monastery, I can do whatever I want. So then it's nothing hard for him, and he's very selfish, does whatever he wants. The minute it's with someone else, it becomes a different situation. The problem is where I have to think about someone else, has to work for this person, and she's not always on the same page as me, in whatever way it is, and I have to sort of be, as we say in Hebrew, gamish, right? We gotta be flexible, and he doesn't want to be flexible, and selfish don't work too well together. They're two opposites somehow. So he learns to be flexible, so he's not so selfish anymore, or else he gets other special tikkunim. She gives it back to him, he gives it back to her, so they go back and forth. So, shalom bayis is everything, for sure. The kli bracha for shalom bayis is definitely Shabbos. That's the biggest. Well, we are connected to Shabbos the way we should. It's the exact opposite of Chayr. It's where everything is Hashem. It's all one from Hashem. That's what Shabbos really is. And we'll see. That's the Shabbos. So we have Shai Mekevech HaTagum. We have to try our best to read the Shai Mekevech HaTagum. when you're done, it's all kavana. The Kitzur, Rav Nachman says, we're uplifting a person's mundane, the part of him, the tagum, to Lashon HaKodesh. That's what he's doing. A person where even a mundane part of me, I want to uplift, I want it to be holy. That's what we're trying to do. And that's a very, it's a process. It's very, like, slow, I can tell you. It takes time, that's for sure. I haven't got there yet, unfortunately, but we're working on it. But it's Hashem, and it's a very, it's a big schus. Shnayim Mikra Bechel Tagum is a very, very big thing. One of the reasons why is, we read the Mikra twice. Plus, you feel like, why are you reading it twice? And then the Tagum, that's it, translated. What if I know it? Doesn't matter. Shnayim Mikra Bechel Tagum. So, the Maz says that when a person reads Shnayim Mikra Bechel Tagum, it's as if he fulfilled what he can't fulfill. So it's something very powerful, like really, it's very, very strong. It does something spiritually. We have to do this twice and once, and that's one concept. But Nelson says it's an aspect of starting again. Get ready to do it over. Don't. You should expect that. It shouldn't be like something new. We were speaking about this last week, right? It's like, listen, we're all, most of this is out of calendar. This is the person we figure when things go well, that's okay. When things don't go well, what happened? It should be the opposite. When things don't go well, okay, I expect that. When things go well, wow, I'm so appreciative. How did it work out? So it's the same thing with nothing says, when you, every pasuk, whatever you want to do, you fulfill, get ready to say it again. And then to say it in your own, translate it in a way you can understand it, the targum, like you have to get it. It takes time, and you start again, until you finally get it. So it's the same thing laning, like we lane today. Laning, we start, right, we do the first aliyah, right? Shabbos Mincha, then we do it again Monday, then Thursday, then Shabbos you do the whole parsha. So because you're trying to get to the whole parsha, but you really can't. You're not holding by it. You do the first, and you expect that it's going to fall. Go back, start again. Okay, another time. Then get it. So that's this very aspect of starting again, learning how to start again, and just expecting it. You have to expect. We need to learn how to expect to have to start again. To expect that, not to be surprised by it. She says, then you go to the mikvah.
So. To prepare for Shabbos.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, are you elevating each of those days because you're doing something specifically to get ready for Shabbos on that day?
Definitely.
And can you ever go back? I mean, once that day like gets up to here, mm-hmm. used to be here, the town is here. But let's say the following week you can't do that. Does mm-hmm. it still stay there, or does it go back up?
Okay. Another wonderful question. Really excellent. Here's the deal. We're building something. When every mitzvah we do is building something. Shabbos also, it's building, we're creating something. So when you put the brick in the wall, whether you put the next brick in the wall or not, whether you even have the height to put the brick in the same place you put last week, it's irrelevant to what you did. What you did is done. You can never lose. Kedusha, you never lose. The Ari has a very long, we'll see here, maybe if we get back to the Ramchal, we'll see it. When Kedusha hits somewhere, it never leaves. You can't lose Kedusha. There's no such thing. It doesn't dissipate. It stays forever. The nonsense, the dirt, that has to be clean. But Kedusha is forever. So on the one hand, you got there. Now, that's the first thing. Now, how come I can't get to the next place next week? That really is what determines, am I in the same place or not? Sometimes I can't get there because it's time to move to the next level. Well, if it's time to do next level, so you have more barriers. And I don't know, I feel like it's like 2 years ago. 2 years ago I couldn't do this, and now it's also 2 years ago, I can't do this. So it's not 2 years ago, you didn't fall, you're going up. And you're in a higher place, you just don't feel it because you can't do, you're getting hit with barriers. You're getting hit with, it's very, very difficult. Sometimes the person that you read it, Taka, he fell. I don't know what happened, where he is. He was very focused last week, and this week, I don't know, he's just not so focused. I don't know why. You should take things more seriously. I don't know, whatever the reasons are. So then it's also, it totally depends. It depends on where I am and what's going over me. That's really the truth. And we can always change the road. We're not going to explain. You can always change around what you went through to go higher. That's really what it comes down to. But you never can tell. We never know what's going over another person. I have no idea what another person endures. What's and the same thing with me. From one time, from one minute to the other, I have no idea what I'm going through. What's my source? Where do I come from? What am I supposed to be doing? I have no idea. We have no idea. That's really what it comes down to. Any other questions? Let's really ask the questions. So we have like this tefillah. Then we have immersion. Immerse yourself in the mikvah. When we go into the mikvah, we have to say, I want to receive Tosefta Shabbos. I want to get an extra aura of Shabbos. With the mikvah, we can get to the highest place. I mean, mikvah is like, there's so much about mikvah. We can talk the whole time just about what a mikvah is. The little drop of what a mikvah is, the pasuk says in Ezra, they've fallen very strongly to. They were intermarried. They were in a bad place spiritually. And Ezra tells them, Yesh mikvah Yisrael. There is hope for Yisrael. He uses the word mikvah. Rav Nosson says, Yesh mikvah Yisrael means through a mikvah there's hope. That's how Ezra expresses hope, because through mikvah there's always hope. A person goes to mikvah, it's transformative. A mikvah is supposed to be transformative. That's why the Shema HaKadosh says mikvah is the same letters as koma, which means a person's whole stature, he's totally changed. That's what mikvah is. It's not by accident that he explains that mikvah, the gematria of mikvah is kas, anger, because mikvah also fixes anger. Anger also changes the other way. It's a big regression. Anger is, we have no idea. If we knew what anger was, we'd never do it. Because we have no idea how much we're losing, every bit of anger we're losing. Rabbi Nachman says you can even lose wealth, spiritual wealth, physical wealth. You lose money. Because the enemy loses out. Too bad. Why would we? We just don't know. We're not aware. That's trouble. So, a mikvah purifies, starts Shabbos, our connection to Hashem. It's the best way to just get into it, to connect, wake ourselves up. It's interesting. The highest mikvah of the year for a man, the highest mikvah of the year is the Night of Shavuos. The mikvah of the Night of Shavuos brings the cast to the highest level of mikvah, and if nothing says that every mikvah takes from that mikvah. That mikvah is like the altar at that time anyway. If you didn't get the mikvah of Shavuos, you didn't. It's a loss, but you do your best. You can't, a person couldn't get to mikvah for whatever reason, so then he doesn't have a mikvah the year round, of course he does. But that's the highest mikvah. If possible, it's very, very worthwhile to try to go to mikvah on. I want to go to the mikvah Shavuos night before Elul Shachar if I can. I know it's around 4 in the morning these days.
Shavuos?
No, Shavuos. Shavuos is a very, very big mikvah too. It's Erev Yom Tov. It's a high mikvah. Halachically,
Erev Shavuos is three times in 24 hours.
Uh huh.
Technically.
That's true. Yes, you definitely do. Halachically, the mikvah Erev Shavuos is higher than the mikvah on Shavuos, but kabbalistically, it's not, because that's a chov in a din. Like halachically, you have it's clear. It's a big thing. While Shavuos is from the Ari, from the Zohar, I think, but certainly from the Ari. But kabbalistically,
that morning before Shabbos on Erev Shavuos.
Yes, you go Erev Shavuos, like you just said, you go Erev Shavuos, and then you go after Chatzos, and then you go again the night of. So you have it's a very big mikvah day. That's right, that's your big, that's the time. But mikvah is a very, very powerful thing anyway, and the night of Shavuos is the highest possible time. We don't even, what can I say? If a person gets up late, was that like Bomber like this? It was not such fun last year, actually. I got on the bus and it took a lot longer than I was hoping. So the bus ride was great. I was sitting to somebody who really knows the Zohar very well. They pulled out their Jezuta. Even though I can never really learn well on buses unless I'm in a special state where it works out for me somehow. Usually it doesn't work. He just read the whole Idva for me. It was wonderful. For the first half hour I was with it, then I was like sort of in a trance, but it was wonderful hearing this Zuta more or less. It was fantastic. But we got to Miron, it was just about Shkia, I hadn't done Mincha, so I got Mincha, and I came above, I sort of felt like I missed like Omer. So, you know, in that situation, that's what you do also if you have to get up late for Shavuos, for whatever reason, it's not holy by it for whatever reason, what you do is, you go to the Mikvah. But you have to try to, what we have to do, what I try to do, is try to get hold of the ore that other people got. That's what you want to do. You want to get a free gift from other you want to get people who got it, I want to get a hold that way. It's the same thing, tefillin, the Ari explains that tefillin, the biggest ore of tefillin, the biggest component of the ore of tefillin is through getting up for chatzos, getting up for the night, and really being, not just being aware, awake at midnight, really being aware and being alive, that is what gives the strongest koach to tefillin. So if we're not zocher, we get from those who do it. It's not, you know, so we have to, we should not just yearn and look away. So where is the, you know, basically, where is the Shechina in my life? Where is the Shechina in my life? Tefillin, it's our neshama yisteira. Every day, the trace of tefillin stays the whole day. The trace of our Shema in the morning stays the whole day. That's why we don't do another Shema. We're supposed to grab hold of it. We have to try to remember while we have tefillin on. This is in the Shema. It's going inside. It's not just that this. Like the Gemara says, if you're connected to tefillin, there's nothing sweeter than tefillin. He said, if not, God forbid, if you're not connected, he said, it feels like you just put on rocks. It's not what it's supposed to feel like. Tefillin is supposed to feel like this great ore, which we have to remember. Try to remember to think about what tefillin is. Try. We Tovo says it's better to Tovo before changing to Shabbos clothing. He brings one source because Lebron brings. A person's Tovling in order to switch from week to Shabbos. That's basically it. So that after the tefillah, you should read the parasha Shnai Mikra, and that's also preparing for Shabbos. We're supposed to also enroll ourselves, garb ourselves in holiness. We want to be filled with holiness and with purity. That's what Shabbos is. I want to be filled with. That's what we have to try to remember. We should be singing. I have weeks like this. I'm trying, but we should really be singing. We go to shul. We should just come out automatically. Not even, it should be planned. We should have a choir chorus ready. Okay, now we're gonna sing. Try to wake up, feel the word of Shabbos. Where am I on Shabbos? Where am I? What's going on? What's happening? Okay. So you said when you go in the water. Before you immerse, have in mind that the word mayim, mem yud mem, is 90. That's 9 yuds. The 9 yuds. 90, which is 9 yuds of 4 names. 4 ways to write up Shem's name, Yud Kev of K. So, this 90, at least 9 yuds. So we have like this. 90 is tzaddik. Tzaddik, everybody knows what tzaddik is. Every Jew is a tzaddik, first of all. Everyone is a tzaddik. That's the first you have to know. Everyone, all tzaddikim. If you don't know you're a tzaddik, if not, everybody knows, it says in the beginning of Sefer Yira, if you don't know that you're important and that you're a child of Abraham Yaakov, he said you're very close to falling to anything. Fall anyway, stumble. No problem. So you have to know you're important. You have to know I'm a tzaddik. We're all tzaddikim. So that's the first thing. That's number one. And you know the Baditzer, when this comes up, he says, you know, it's interesting. In the Aleph phase before tzaddik is Ayin Pei. You have Ayin is eyes, right? You watch your eyes. Pei is your mouth. Watch your mouth. And then you're a tzaddik. If not, well. Can't have a tzaddik with ayin pei. So it's time to start again, basically. So you have ayin pei tzaddik. So we try to immerse in the mikvah, we're trying to purify. That's a big one. Eyes, the whole self. Eyes and the mouth, that's a big, big one. So then we have to, some people immerse 9 times. There are different ways of how many times you immerse and why it is. 9 yuds. So they asked the Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, he used to immerse 310 times every day. Now he was very, very diligent with his time. He learned with an instant. He was always helping people. He went out of the way to help people, but he learned with a lot of intensity. Here is 310 times. again and again. What are you doing? So Ravis is all melted. He said, what are you doing? You're 3 to 10 times the mikvah. Again and again and again. He said, I just think if a mikvah has the power to change a non-Jew into a Jew, it can change a Jew into a Jew. I need to get it, become a Jew. Hashem changed me into a Jew. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I want. I want to become a Jew. When he went into the mikvah anyway, it's like we have to learn. It's unbelievable. Learn about how he lived his life, how tzaddikim lived their lives. And we just have no idea. We just say, well, I have to, you know, this has never would have occurred to me. He took a tzitzis off. He cried. Tzitzis. He's done. Like me. I never think about, you know, when you catch your tzitzis in the mikvah, you cry on them. What are you talking about? I cry on my tzitzis. Like, I try to make sure it doesn't get caught in the hook. You know, I put it right. I don't get my neighbor's way. I don't take another hook. Maybe I take one hook. I don't, you know, crying out the aura of tzitzis. You know, the Vilna Gaon cried at the end of his life for a few pennies. Tzitzis. Well, I give up on that. Leave the world. And we have no idea. We're just totally oblivious. We wear this special fringe garment. It's pretty cool. It's a mitzvah. That's not supposed to, we were supposed to like alive. These people who are alive, they really... Yehudi HaKadosh, they call him Yehudi HaKadosh, the only Jew, because every day he felt like he just became a Jew today. That was what I became. That's how he went through life. That's why they call him Yehudi HaKadosh. That's a little bit of what a mikvah is. So on a very simple level, test Yud's is to remember, you want to become a Jew. 9 times, all different aspects. I want to be a Jew. Just simple, very pleasant. And then, if you're able to be a Jew in all the different 9 aspects, all right, what we're saying now to yourself, Chesed Gvurah Tiferet, Netzachot Yisod, Malchus, right? All the different levels. So then, person is Zocha to connect to who he really is, as a Tzaddik. He becomes a Tzaddik. That's not a simple, without any being complicated. It doesn't need to be complicated.
Yeah. Are you supposed to go to the mikvah, like, Rosh Shabbos, make Abdallah, then you go to the mikvah, or Rosh Shabbos, make Abdallah, get on the bus to Meron, you go to the mikvah in Meron,
another.
What's the order?
Okay, excellent question. Many people are careful never to go to the Kibbutz Tzaddik without getting a mikvah. It's a big thing, it prepares you, it purifies you. Do you have to go to the mikvah? No. It's very worthwhile to go to the mikvah. It's very worthwhile because you want to. What we're trying to do when we go to the Kibbutz Tzaddik is get a little drop of the soul of a tzaddik. We have a much better chance of doing that when we're as pure as we can be. So it's very worthwhile. I do my very best to try to go to the mikvah. So should one go to the mikvah Motzi Shabbos? Sometimes it's earlier before you leave. It's easier to go at home. You have your mikvah. You know where to go. Every mikvah is open, and Meron is very crowded. Rav Shmuel Humaner actually would say, he was one of the big Gaon Musar, he would say, listen, you can't go to the mikvah Erev Shabbos after Chatzos if it's so crowded that there's like a tznius problem. He said, better to go early in the morning and don't get a tznius problem. Don't have a way you feel like you're so crowded in, it's just not proper, it's not seemly. Don't go then, it's not the time. Even though, yes, that's the best time, that's why it's so crowded, but still, you know, you don't want to be in a place where, you know, it's bad for you. It's not good. It's not helpful to me. I got to do a mikvah. I have to connect to Hashem with the mikvah. Do what Hashem wants, not do things that are not great with the mikvah. So, assuming a person's not going to drive through the road at night, he's pretty much hopefully going to be in a good place, so he can get a mikvah here. Get a mikvah home. There is a mile to get a mikvah there if you don't make yourself crazy. And of course, you don't want to do the issue of the neighbors. If you mikshol, you have your wallet and your pants when you go to mikvah, and you're placing a stumbling block before some poor guy who needs money desperately, and it's hard for him not to notice the wallet. And he's, of course, just borrowing it anyway, and it's all tikkunim. So it's good, you know, God forbid, that's his particular problem, so you don't want to make him trouble. Huh?
Can you use the Kinneret? Is the Kinneret?
The Kinneret's the best. I know people who went dafka to the Kinneret, try to get the Be'er Shemiriam. Try to get the Be'er Miriam. It's like, this is the best time, Meron. The Kavana to get the Be'er Miriam, if we're on the topic, is to think about the Schus of Miriam HaNeviah at each date. Think about the Schus of Miriam HaNeviah, if you look to the Or of Chiddush Torah that she brought down, bring it to you. You can even bring it to you if you're Zohar. Let's hope there's a Midrashim people who got it by accident, or just from Hashem, just gave them a gift. This lady's husband wasn't well, and she got a little cup. Healing purposes, very powerful.
So what you do is you get to
uh-huh.
you get to spot hire a cab, go to the Canary, right? Tiberias, right? No, you go to Tiberias, hire a cab, go to the Canary, go to Neron.
Well, I know a person who hired a bus and filled the bus and went straight to the Kinneret. They jumped in the Kinneret, then they went to Meron for Vasika. Then I know there was such a bus, probably still is. But I don't know about it. It's a little bit, unless you have a car, it's like you said, it's a little bit cumbersome. And a car supposedly is even more cumbersome in Meron. It's supposed to be impossible to do anything with it. It's like becomes like just an encumbrance.
They were they're not going to allow cars to shoot.
Oh, wow, at all. Oh, boy. Okay.
Only bus.
Leave your car at home. That's basically the way it is.
Or maybe drive to some kind of obscure person.
Or in spots. Don't leave home with this. You know, that's our motto. Logo. The new logo. Egged logo. Don't leave home with your car. Take a look. So, okay.
This is probably off topic for an absolutely stupid question. But given the craziness with the PA and everything else, is it going to be safe up there?
That's actually also a wonderful, very powerful question. Because, like, the question is a much deeper question. Is Israel safe, Bechal? Is Israel safe, Bechal? Is Israel at all safe? That's really a question a lot of people wonder.
Is Israel safe?
Yeah, it's like wonder. Could you imagine? Imagine, I don't know, any country in the world surrounded by people that want to kill them, and they have
a billion.
Yeah,
a billion people.
But only 150 million immediately. Let's not exaggerate. It's not a lot of people. It's not so many like a billion. It's only 150 million, and there were like maybe, I don't know, 8 million, and some of them won't serve the army. Most of them don't even care.
Only have 200,000. Missiles aimed at us.
Exactly. So it's like, is this safe? So does anyone feel unsafe?
No.
So why is that? So the Rav Dessler, huh?
Hashem.
Yes. But it seems strange though. Do you think that if we lived in I can't think of another comparable place.
LA?
It's different. So
Albania.
We feel safe in Albania because of Hashem. Let's say it's the same level. We find someone at the same level. Besides that, you'd say, well, there's a little difference because people, there seems to be a special protection happening here because over there it's a little harder, even if it's the same situation. Let's say, we wouldn't feel safe. So how can we feel safe here? So Rav Dessler says that is an expression of this land being the land where Hashem's eyes are always. Hashem's always looking at us and always paying attention to us. So you speak to like the most absolute anti-Emuna person in Israel and you say, well, don't you feel unsafe? And he says, no, I feel fine. But why? I don't know, it's alright. He starts to be like totally relaxed. Were you ever in New York? Yeah, I was in New York. What do you think? I don't know, I can't get mugged, it's very dangerous. I can't, you know, it's like, what happened to you? Why here are you so relaxed? Well, it's Emuna. He doesn't know that, but it's Emuna. He said, that's an expression of being in God's land. So the truth is, the whole Israel is much safer than anywhere else because you're in the special land of Hashem. But it's hard to somewhat to explain that without someone coming and seeing it. So Meron is no better or no worse. It's certainly safe. It's not going at Shechem or something without any, just alone, which is really dangerous. There are other, that's a surprise, right? You go to a lot of places and it's like, wow, if you got out of there, you're lucky to be alive. And these places are very close to where we go, like, what is that, 20-minute ride from here? And then 30-minute ride from here? It's like, so people are all...
It's like going to Karabakh.
It's dangerous. So it was okay before the defilement of Oslo. But anyway, actually, yeah, it's very... not even Oslo, the second one, I think it was okay, even. Well, I used to go to Karabakh to Kollel, and I had a friend who knew Arabic, obviously a religious Jew, and he would take the bus from the Shashtam. Totally, we didn't care. The Arabs, like, why not? What's the problem? Shem Yirachim.
I mean, people ask.
Yeah, no, the answer is yes, but it's just as much as the rest of Israel. And when you come, you'll feel very safe. It's okay. You don't have to get upset. It's fine. But is it safer than New York? Much safer than New York. Is it safer than LA? Maybe even much, much. I don't know how safe LA is. I just know some guy who took a machine gun to him, didn't do anything to him though, apparently. But supposedly they threw him on the threatened him with a machine gun. Doesn't sound like fun. But it's So it's safer, but can I prove it on paper? Maybe not exactly, but it shouldn't matter. If you're already here, you can go to Minerva. It's okay. It's just a safe. Baruch Hashem, nothing's ever happened. Hashem Shabbos truly never happened anything. And it's been a lot of years, and it's like 250,000 people, and nothing at all. Just as usual. I don't think there's one child who ever lost, missing, nothing. Pretty good record. That's also like something which is like, I don't know if you could find a comparable thing where nothing happened, like it's everything's okay, it's all right, don't worry. A child goes missing, people are just relaxed, and they always show up, it's fine. They're totally relaxed. I mean, I get people saying, well, I let my son walk to the grocery down the block. He's 8 years old, you can't let that 8-year-old walk to the grocery, don't you know anything? And it's like, well, I wouldn't in New York, but in Yerushalayim, it's okay. Why is it okay? What if this, what if this? It's okay, it's just okay. That's the answer. No, there's no great answer. I can't prove it to you. I can't prove it. How do you know this? I don't have any answer for that. I just know it is. It's fine. It's okay. And as Hashem shall help us further, but as of now, in Yerushalayim at least, there are safe houses where children wandering are left, and no one knows of any child that wandered and disappeared and just wasn't found. No such thing. It's, a bunch of years.
But there's a big problem I've read about teenage girls being kidnapped or abducted or whatever to Arab villages.
That's a different problem. That's where the person convinces her. She goes with him. Then she usually regrets it because it's a little bit of a different lifestyle, to say the least. But that's something else. That's where the person, she has no protection. So she can go wherever she wants. She has free will. Can't stop her. She's not young. And is it someone like? Sometimes it's not even better for her to live on the streets. I mean, like, so where is she going? What happened to her? What's going? What went over her? What? We don't know. You know, that's very, very sad. But yeah, it's a serious problem. That's for sure. And some people are working on the problem, and other people are diving about it. Ashrechem.
The calls. Please come to us.
I bet you get a lot of calls.
1,000 a year.
Wow.
We have one right now. We're trying to place her. We got her out.
Wow.
But she converted to Islam.
Ah.
And she had a child.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So now we have somebody to give the child a bris. And we don't have any place for her to live.
Wow.
And she converted back on her own. So now the baby has a bris. But it's very difficult when you have an Arab father. Where do you put the wife and the child?
Yep.
Who wants to house that? No one.
Because according to them, he's a Muslim. They believe in matrilineal descent. They don't believe in, like us, matrilineal. They don't care about
the fact is the dad was a Muslim, makes him a Muslim, no?
That's what they hold.
Conversion, the dad's a Muslim, he's a Muslim.
Yep. Yep. No way to leave the faith, the true faith. That's their way of looking at things.
And we look at him as a Jew.
Yep.
Right. So,
that's the problem. Yeah, it's a big problem. You know, it's a very brave thing to take someone like that. Because you can be looking for his son and his wife. He didn't give her that last beating. What is this?
Exactly.
Kind of emotion, yeah. It's very sad. It's very
he
sad.
Knows where she's at. He found her.
Huh?
He found her.
He found her?
He found her. He knows where she's at. But she took a restraining order against him, so he's not allowed.
Well, that's something.
So just a book doesn't stop somebody.
Yeah, sure.
I read an article from Padilla that all kinds of. It's very complicated.
It's too common.
I know. I mean, is it really that common?
It's too common. You have a guy who's very charming.
We're talking about like arranging girls that leave and go and live with Arab men and have and convert to Muslims.
I don't know.
Idea that artists seem like there's.
I don't know. I have no
thousands
idea.
Thousands of them.
I don't think so. But I don't have any information.
You can get numbers, but it made it
I have no
so
data.
It's not that there's no. It's not a thousand. There's not thousands and thousands.
The way the article read, it seemed like
oh,
the last 2 weeks ago.
You know, if it's your child, then it's one too many.
Right, of course.
And there are a lot of these girls. It's all, for the most part, with rare exceptions, these are girls from dysfunctional families.
Right.
It's
as Dr. said.
You know,
yeah.
So it's like it's mostly
right.
They're looking for somebody to tell them that they're beautiful and they're worthwhile and all that.
There's a Knesset report in English about the whole problem on JerusalemCast.com in the forum section. I did a whole article on that, and there with all the links to websites.
It's a problem than we realize. Sure. Well, 1,000
cars in here is a lot of things.
Yeah, a lot of pain.
It's a big problem, that's for sure. But yeah, like things, there's a lot of dysfunction, and that's what really does it. You can't, religious, not religious, there's no foundation, so it's very difficult. It's not well. There's nobody home. They need help before you're starting with building the person's religiosity. Like, where is the person? The person's been pulverized. What do you do with that? It's not very, very not simple. So she's ripe for the picking for these people. They're looking for whatever they're looking for. Someone who's pliable enough to be foolish enough to
We can get them. Sometimes we get to them before they go off with the guy.
Well, that's good.
That's the once they're in the village, it's very difficult to get them out and then to rehabilitate them because nobody wants them.
It's hard.
Their parents don't want them. They have no friends. They have nothing. The only person that wants them is the guy who beats them.
Well.
He does. He wants them because he beats them. He needs them.
Yep.
So it's like it's very sick.
It's very sick.
It's very, 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 very bad.
We have a home in Slough. We have 18 girls in that we rescued from up in that area in Gallup, which is also it's a very difficult subject up there. But everybody knows this. But in Yerushalayim, we say one girl.
Oh, wow.
We say one girl in four, and that we know of for sure. So that from walking around the streets, going to Russian train, there are guys pursue her, but we're there also. So
Yeah. Great. Amazing, amazing.
She said, "And you're, I promise not to drink in New York."
Wow. Never.
Good. It doesn't matter, they can be Israeli or Americans or anywhere else.
And
you know what the government told us? We want you to continue doing this. We need money. We don't have any money.
Of course. For this. We don't have money for this. We have money for important things, not for this.
Not for education.
Yeah, not for this. It's a problem. What can I say? Connect it to cottage cheese somehow and the prices, and you'll get whatever it is. Somehow it'll work out.
And Simon Perez's parties.
Yeah, well. That's the first thing. Nine yuds. We're almost
going to...
Nine yuds is tzaddik.
Nine times yud.
So you want to be a Jew, basically. I want to be a Jew. How can I be a Jew? So I want to just start to be a yid, start to serve Hashem. That's what we're looking for. Yud is also chachma. A person wants to get. He wants to get his thoughts in order. Where am I? What's going on? Mikvah things is a lot of. He's going to bring his own stuff. It's so much about mikvah. Again, let's just talk a lot about it. Just the rest is to do that anyway. So we'll see what we see. Mikvah elakuf nun aleph. Thank you, the hand. Oh, boy. Okay. There's an aspect of tshuva. Eke means I will be. That's what tshuva is. I'm preparing myself to be like the Zohar says. I'm preparing myself to be a being, a reality. And of course, it's in any level, depending on where I am spiritually in any particular thing. Whether it's learning, whether it's davening, whether it's
helping someone else, whether it's different meters, whatever it may be, whether it's feeling like I'm a human being and I want to service them, I'm worthwhile, whatever it may be, I've got to work on having existence. That's what erke is. And there are different ways to write erke. There's one way which is with heis. Hey, yudvok, dal, and another hey. That comes out to kuf nun aleph, kana, which is mikveh. It's the same gematria as mikveh. It's the same exact thing. Let's see what he does with this. So this is a key set to shem av. When you want to have a connection to shem, and shem av is chesed. Av also is the way you, it's different permutation how to write it out. Yud vav dal, and then it's all yuds. Hey yud vav, another hey yud. That's chayim beis. So that's the gematria chesed. You want to get this supernal chesed of shem, this place where you're just a shem, you don't feel anything, you don't know anything, just a shem. The way to do it is tshuva, this bechina of the erke of saga, it's through the mikveh. It goes to mikveh, and the reason that one of the ways you get Ruach HaKodesh, which is what we're talking about when you're really somewhere else, is the person goes to mikveh, especially when he needs a mikveh. Especially if the person needs a mikveh, if he has a balkeri. Very important, as much as possible, to introduce with the mikveh. The disciples said the reason why my sperm were very accepted in the Jewish world is because I had a mikveh near my home. In my home at one point, and I always immersed before writing. So I had a tahara tzeah finish my. And it's true too. Even though he was certainly very brilliant and very very dedicated, I mean, he never spent a second not learning. His son was disappeared, never found. I don't know what happened. Probably another person just chas v'shalach for his son. So he would take care of his grandchildren, for his daughter, six children. She was in the rest of her life. So he would wheel the baby carriage and recite Mishnayos for heart. Was this type of just same feeling, rocking the baby and reciting his Mishnayos. So he was a very diligent learner, but he still said mikveh was a big, big part of his success. And like the Arizal says, it's one of the things. It's one of the big things for getting to this place of Ruach HaKodesh. So basically, we go to the mikveh, we get to Kernel Chesed. The water, anyway, is Chesed, like the Nassim says. There's an aspect of Chesed as well. Cleanses, it's expansive, it waters, it gives. He said, this name the of Av, right, we said Yud Vav Dalet, and all these, has every letter has a Yud. Hey Yud, Vav Yud Vav, another Hey Yud. So all of that, that name, it also has four yuds. Four yuds is 40. That's the mem sah. So again, this aspect of the mem sah. One of the elements of the mem sah is these four yuds. Now, to get to this place, we have to break through. That's what the re explains. The also this aspect. You have the shlos mem, right? The end mem. It's a box. We have to break through the mem. It's like the two doors. Two doors, you have to break open. So it's like it's in a certain way like a womb. You have to give birth to a new level. So the way you do that is breaking through. The mikveh helps you do that. Get these four mems, these four yuds from mem, and you break in to the new level. You have to break your way through. There's always like saying the other day, there's always a gather from the Zohar.
These are husks.
Right? Husks? Husks. But yeah, there's always a gather, there's always a gather, there's a gate you have to break into. Yeah, there's a different aspect of the Klipa called him the pre, like you say, the English quelipot, as one person would like to read it with a Q, however you say it, these husks, right, they're in your way and you have to break through to get in. Otherwise, there's no protection for the higher levels. Like the, I think about time this is actually. It's brought in a lot of places, this idea that that's protection when you have an orange or a grapefruit with its shell. The shell is annoying, you gotta peel it, you have to work to eat. If you're driving, let's say, and you have a box of, you know, a watermelon and some grapefruits and some oranges, and you're so hungry, and you're flying down the highway, okay? You can't eat anything. And you might be tormented by the delicious smells and stuff. Ah, wow, it's so good, and I can't touch this stuff. I'm in a rush.
If you have an apple, there's no klipa, no problem. You can manage, but not with, you can't peel it, and also, unless you're a very special driver, I don't know, there's some people in there, maybe, my father might be able to do it, he's really good. But most people have a hard time driving and also doing, like, multitasking in such a way without getting into an accident, God forbid. Getting into an accident, it's easy, most of us can do that, but to manage it without getting into an accident at high speed, that's not so easy. So that's the klipa on the one hand, it's annoying, it's, you have to really put your mind to it and have the effort and be able to deal with it. Some klipas, you don't have a knife, you also, you're not in business. Again, a watermelon, it's not so easy to eat without a knife. Show that in your car. But so I need the klipa on the one hand, it's annoying, on the other hand, it's a protection to the higher level that we should actually get there. We should have the right amount of humility to get in. So I have to break through. So we have to know it's not mine, it's not my pocket. When it's in your pocket, otherwise you don't have anything from it. It's very, very, very minimal worth. I think Rav Gift already talked about the ability to put a chip in your head and see all of the Torah, Shas, Poskim, everything. He said, what's that worth? Nothing. Nothing. That's zero. That's zero. Without the word, without that just has no meaning. There's nothing. See, we all thought Google was so hush. I mean, it's not, I mean, it could maybe help you find things, maybe not, but that's not what Torah is about. So that's the beginning of the Mem Sod. Mem Sod, we can think the Mem Sod, the four Yuds, Hashem's name, of breaking through to overcome the people, get the new level, bring in the new or. That's a little bit of what it makes us about. Okay. So we'll do another line, I guess. I'm going to do Pathways to Joy another 2 minutes. Be'ez Hashem. So the Tikkun HaZohar explains that a mikvah is like taking a vessel, putting it in an oven to reconstitute it entirely. So that's the mikvah. It totally has the power to totally renew us, totally make us different. And it's a beautiful story I heard from Rav Yosef Shani. That he went to this clairvoyant, as I told before, he went to this clairvoyant who had the ability to see the history of jewelry. People, a lot of Israelis there. So he put a piece of jewelry on, or a watch, or whatever it is, a ring, not necessarily valuable, just a thing, and went to the clairvoyant to check and see what it is. And he put a ring on, and when this woman or man, I'm not sure, grasped this ring, he held it, said, how can this be? It has no history. It's impossible. And he stood up and he said, this is a ring which I immersed in a mikvah. And its history is wiped. That's why its history is wiped. That's the idea of immersion. Totally wiped spiritually the thing, the object. That's why we immerse vessels. And what it does, people should know there's something called a mikvah. It's a good forum for people to learn that there's a mikvah. So the power of a mikvah basically just wiping is clean completely. The Chayadim says if you had a good week and you really focused on the aura of Shabbos, he said you're for sure going to feel something in the mikvah. The mikvah is like the big time, for sure. So I don't know, I don't want to be discouraging. Hopefully we will, but we have to try and we have to yearn, we have to want. That's what a mikvah is, hope. To be hopeful, that I'm going to be zocha, to feel the aura of Shabbos Kodesh, to feel the aura of Hashem. Okay, so I think we're done with Shabbos for now.